Info Track. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Parents, could your teenagers' irregular sleep be setting them up for future heart problems? A medical doctor has crucial insights that can help protect adolescent cardiovascular health in the years ahead. Here with the story, InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. Sleep is essential for growing kids, yet many adolescents struggle to get the recommended 8 to 10 hours each night. But it's not just the total amount of sleep that matters. Irregular sleep schedules and late nights could have long-term consequences. In a new study, researchers from Penn State College of Medicine found that inconsistent sleep patterns may negatively impact heart health later in life, highlighting the importance of healthy sleep habits from a young age. Dr. Julio Fernandez Mendoza is a professor of psychiatry and behavioral health at Penn State College of Medicine and the senior author of the study, and he joins us today to share his insights. So before we get into your study, I'm curious, what inspired you and your colleagues to study teen sleep patterns and specifically their connection to heart health?
Well, two main reasons. We've always been interested at Penn State in child sleep. That was an endeavor of many people. And then mostly following them up as they grew. We're working a lot on multiple dimensions of sleep. But as you said, there was a very specific interest in understanding cardiovascular health. As you may know, most studies focus on adults. But we wanted to understand two things. One, that we know sleep is essential for life, and therefore inadequate sleep can play a role in cardiovascular health. And two, that very likely early signs of heart problems start at a much younger age.
So with that in mind, let's dive in and provide us with a brief overview of the study and your findings.
So what we studied was 700 adolescents that participated in the Penn State child cohort. 90% of them were between the ages of 12 to 19. And we did a sleep study where you put sensors in the brain and the body to examine multiple things, including sleep apnea. And then we also hooked them up with an EKG monitor. So we actually sent them home after the sleep study visit with one of these devices, and we measure their heart activity through 24 hours after being in the lab. But we did not only do that, we also send them home with an actigraph, almost like a little watch that measures movement and allows us to estimate patterns of rest, meaning sleep and activity. And I'm highlighting this second device because this is where we were able to measure at what time they were asleep, at what time they were awake, that we call circadian alignment or circadian misalignment, whether you're sleeping outside of the time that most people sleep or within the time that most people sleep.
You also refer in your study to heart rate variability, or HRV. How does HRV serve as a marker for cardiovascular health, and why is it important as it relates to teens and their sleep habits?
When we hook them up with a Holter monitor to send them home, they return it 24 hours after being in the lab, and we analyze those EKGs. You can imagine it's 24 hours of heart activity data. And one of the things that you can analyze from that is not just arrhythmias that many people may be familiar with, but also the variability of your heart rate. Most people would think that having a very low heart rate variability is good. Actually, in terms of heart rate variability, is the opposite. Low heart rate variability is a sign that there is decompensation in the way that your heart basically is beating. So that means that if your heart rate does not vary a lot throughout the day or throughout the night or throughout the daytime period only, that means that actually your heart is not adapting well to the changes throughout the day, right? Your heart rate needs to change, has to have a lot of variability throughout the day because you get up, you sit down, you rest, you get angry, you get happy. So people who have low heart rate variability may be at risk of developing heart problems. And I'm saying may because what matters is the determinant of that low heart rate variability. And that's exactly what we measure. What we found in this study was that teens with a circadian misalignment were associated with this lower heart rate variability. So that means that their heart is not compensating well between high activation and low activation throughout the day.
Let's talk a little bit about circadian misalignment. Based on your study, is it a growing concern for teens?
We do know that the circadian timing of sleep, when you sleep, we know that that is maturational, is developmental. As we grow from childhood through adulthood and we pass through adolescence, with the onset of puberty, with the physical changes, there is also a change in our biological clock. And teens start to fall asleep later and wake up later. Many parents are very aware of this, and even ourselves. We can remember ourselves the time where midnight hit and we were not sleepy. And maybe even your parents were thinking that it was a reckless behavior. And no, you truly were not sleepy. Your brain was now ticking at a different time than when you were a child, and sometimes even at a different time than even the adults. So we do know that that's a developmental process that happens in all of us. However, it is true that there is a subset of teens, and that's what our study found, that develop a major problem of this shift in our circadian rhythm of sleep. And they become much more delayed in their sleep pattern. So they will fall asleep, let's say, at 2 a.m. in the morning and have tremendous difficulty waking up to go to school. And also some of them express this problem by irregularity in the timing of sleep. So it's not just that they fall asleep late and wake up late, it's that their circadian rhythm is not well aligned night to night. So sometimes they fall asleep late and wake up late. Sometimes they fall asleep early and wake up early. So they get like desynchronized, if you may.
Our teens are so busy with school and extracurricular activities, part-time jobs, family obligations, and as you say, not to mention they're constantly on their smartphones, scrolling social media. Of course, it's not just teens, it's also adults. But how is it even probable for teens to maintain good sleep hygiene when our world today appears to be at odds with their circadian rhythms?
Jim, I think you're one of the first people ever to frame it the way you did. It's excellent because even in our data, and even in these adolescents, of course, those who hold a part-time job are the ones that also have more circadian misalignment. What does it mean if you are a teen that has to work versus a teen that can afford not having to work? Or if you work is just a part-time job, even volunteer, that is for your own curriculum to go to college. That is a completely different social situation. So we do know that those determinants exist and are playing a role. And yes, a lot of us believe, and science shows that we have a world that many times is at odds with what we know scientifically about how humans grow, how we mature as adolescents. It is at odds many times with our own biology because of this crazy need of always having to be everything open, everything available. And it is a problem. It is impacting the way we sleep. It is impacting our sleep timing, our sleep duration, how much sleep we get. So that is why there is a huge push scientifically for changing school start times. The data shows that it does help a lot with students, not just sleep health, but also behavioral health, academic performance, and so forth.
So this is really, you know, the role and the responsibility not only of the parent, but of schools and administrators and policymakers to really use the research that you've done to support adolescent well-being and minimize what you describe as circadian misalignment.
Yeah. And, you know, in our study, that one of the interesting things is we were able to analyze teens when they were attending a school and also a subset of those who were analyzed when they were on break from a school. And the interesting thing is it was this sleep irregularity. So a marker of this circadian misalignment that it has to do with almost the discontrol of the sleep-wake pattern, right? I want you to imagine a teen that has tremendous difficulty even anchoring to just sleeping even late, right? 1 to 8 a.m. in the morning, let's say, with insufficient sleep. So they could not anchor. Those who were not anchored even to a timing of their sleep, they were the ones that were having a low heart rate variability and therefore poorer cardiovascular health. Among those who were examined on break from school during vacation, spring break, and so forth, because they did not have to conform to the early school start time, high school start time, they were able to delay their pattern. So irregularity was not so much of a problem. But then how did they express the issue? That they were very delayed. So those who were sleeping really late and waking up very late were the ones that were having low heart rate variability. So if we put the two findings together, as we reported in the study, this means that indeed kids who are delayed in their sleep phase, that are sleeping very late and waking up very late, are not aligned to this very early school start time. So if we minimize that with policy changes, with adapting school schedules and multiple other things to developmental changes, we could prevent at least a bunch of them. Maybe not all of them. Of course, there will always be some that will continue to have a problem. But we could address a lot of those cases by basically helping them align better with the school start time that is not at odds with their biology. And the second side that you mentioned, what about having teens work until, you know, midnight, closing, you know, a cinema or whatever? Is that, what is that about? Like, is that okay? How is that contributing to their health in general? So I think it's an important conversation to have indeed, you know, about what do we want to do with our teens? Do we want them to live like a middle-aged 45-year-old? Or we want them to be 15-year-olds, you know, enjoying life and not increasing their cardiovascular risk?
This may be an oversimplification, but really your findings suggest that if adolescents maintain good sleep hygiene, that they're consistent with it and in line with their internal body clock, then the risk of cardiovascular issues later in life is potentially minimized, correct?
Yeah, I would say yes is the implications indeed of the study. This means that above and beyond sleep hygiene, which is taking care of issues that are lifestyle related, right? Like substance use. And with that, by the way, I include caffeine as well as your sleep routine, but also your sleep behavior. So as you said, probably teaching sleep is very important. You know, we learn to sleep when we're very little. We are taught to sleep alone. Like, that's something that is learned. And then we also learn what to do when we are asleep, where you sleep, whether you sleep in front of the TV on the couch or you actually go to your own bedroom. So sleep is a physiologic need, but it's also a learned behavior. And if we don't do something about it with good education and also giving good behavioral evidence-based instructions to these adolescents, that's how the problem becomes worse. And there is a lot that can be done. I mean, we do it clinically with teens that show with disorders already. But in terms of prevention, it can be actually done with very well-established behavioral recommendations, light exposure, behavioral habits that promote sleep, that anchor you to the biological night, a ton of things.
Well, this research is fascinating. It's really valuable. And I want to congratulate you on your research. It's published in the journal Sleep. Dr. Julio Fernandez Mendoza has been our guest today. Thanks so much for joining us today. Greatly appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thank you, Jim.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.